could we? And love of God is wonderful. We're here because we love the Lord. We love Him and we love His church and we love Jesus who died on the cross. That's why we're here, to remember that wonderful and historic death of Christ upon the cross. And we're just so very thankful to Him today. And God wants us to always remember His death, and that's why we partake the Lord's Supper every week. And we're thankful to have visitors with us today. Thank you for coming, and we pray that you'll be edified and uplifted by being in this time of worship with us. I'd like to say a word or two just briefly about the online Bible school that we help support. I'm going to put this on the bulletin board out there. But I'd like to read a few of the comments that come in concerning the online Bible courses. That's what it's about, people taking a Bible school online. This is from Sri Lanka. I am writing to thank you most sincerely for the efficient manner in which you are conducting the affairs of the school. I'm so grateful for the opportunity you are providing. I would never have been able to afford the kind of instruction you're providing. God bless all for your help. This is from California. Now, people in the States take this as well. I'm so excited to have this online resource as a way of help, to help me grow and learn. And this is from Jamaica. I would love to have an excellent knowledge of the Bible in order to help others in studying the Word of God. Right now, there are 10,991 people enrolled online. 10,000. We're glad to be a part of this work and to support the World Video Bible School. By the way, school.wvbs.org. It's right up here. You can get on that as well. Also in our bulletin, we've mentioned that we're starting a new radio program that begins this Wednesday at 5 p.m. on KPIR, 1420 on the AM dial. Pray for that. We hope to reach this area with the gospel. And so if you can listen in at 5 p.m., that would be good as well. Also, we just received another shipment of the Muslin Shovel Book. I believe this is our fifth or sixth box, carton, crate, whatever you call it. And we've been passing those out and continue to do that. We've had at least two baptisms here on because of the passing out of that book and people reading it. So we're thankful for these resources. We're thankful that there is technology where people can take and study the Bible on the internet. We're very thankful for that. By the way, the new radio program will not only be broadcast by way on air, but also will be broadcast on the internet. They're going to put it on the internet for us for free. So we're thankful for that. Now, to our lesson today, we're going to begin a brief study of the book of Revelation in our summer series of worship sermons. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. And we're going to start in chapter 4. Now, we've had a series of lessons on the chapters 2 and 3 on the churches of Asia. We had a October Wednesday night series on those churches. And so we've already had lessons on that. We're not going to have a lesson on everything in the book. We're just going to be looking at some things in the book of Revelation. You know, we just need to know the book of Revelation better. It is a breeding ground for false doctrine. Many people go there to teach error. We need to know our Bibles better. Today we're going to talk about Revelation chapter 4. And we call this lesson, A Door Was Opened in Heaven. I know that you'd like to know what's going on in heaven. I would. And I'm glad that in the book of Revelation, we can find out some of the things that are going on in heaven. And it's thrilling, it's exciting, it's encouraging to know what heaven is like. That's our future home. We're going there. And God wants to let us know what's going on up there. I'm glad there's an open door to heaven, that John was able to look through that open door and find out what was going on there. Now, we're going to be studying about heaven today, what's going on around the throne of God today. You know what? We've been doing some of what happens in heaven here this morning. We've been worshiping God today. So as we read and study through these lessons, let's appreciate this great information. We need to know our Bibles better, and this is one way to do that. Revelation 4, verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, so this is a very loud and very clear voice, and this is what that voice that sounded like a trumpet said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. That door in heaven was open. It wasn't closed. Heaven is not closed to us. When Christ died upon the cross, do you remember in Matthew chapter 27? At his death, the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, opening the holy place to the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies, is that represented heaven, where the ark was and where the mercy seat was. There's our mercy seat. It's in heaven. Christ is sitting on the seat that he sprinkled with blood, his own blood. That's the mercy seat there. And so we get to look into heaven. You ever heard anybody say, my door is always open to you? Well, what does that mean? You're welcome anytime. And that's what the Bible tells us. God's door is open. We are to come boldly before the throne of grace to ask for help and to receive help in time of need. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. And so God's door is always open. It's open at midnight. It's open in the morning. It's open at noon. I'm glad the door is open. What's going on in heaven right now? Well, what's going on is an open door for people. And we get to look into that open door here by way of these scriptures. There's an open door. Aren't you glad of that? James 4 and 8 says, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. It's not a shut door, it's an open door. It's a door where we can draw nigh to God. And God promises us that he will draw near unto us. Verse 2 says, and immediately I was in the Spirit. So John is still on the Isle of Patmos, but by way of this vision, he gets to look into heaven. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. That was comforting for Christians to know back then that God is still on the throne. There may be an evil emperor sitting on the throne in the city of Rome. He may be wicked, he may be evil, but God sits on a higher throne. God is above all the thrones of the earth. He is King of kings. He rules over all of the kings in this world. He's Lord of lords. And you know, this was a time of great tribulation. If you see Revelation 1 and verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. That's what was going on the earth. But God was still on the throne. There may be wars. There may be world wars. There may be famines, world famines. But you know what? God is still on the throne in heaven. And what a comfort and what a strength that is. We get to look into heaven. We get to see there through this open door that there's a throne. And there's someone sitting on the throne. The throne is not vacant. It is occupied. It's occupied by our great and mighty God. You know, this world can get in all kinds of turmoil. I hope you don't listen too seriously to the news. Listen, let's take the Word of God seriously. And let's take the news with a grain of salt. The Bible is true. What's on the news may not be true. I like what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands, lest he tear thy soul. I've turned to two pages. Tear thy soul asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. the Lord shall have them in derision. He shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. We have a God in heaven that's sitting on the throne, and he rules over all things. Now verse 3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper. That's like a diamond. It's clear. And a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, and the sight like unto an emerald. And so God is on that throne. He's like a jasper. He's like a bright light. Later on in the book of Revelation, it says there's no sun in heaven. There's no moon to give their light. He's the light of heaven. I love reading Matthew chapter 17 when Christ was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. And this is what it says about him being transfigured. And this is verse 2. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. There's no need of the sun in heaven. Christ is the light. He's as a jasper stone. What's going on in heaven? Well, there's an open door. We get to look into that open door. What's up there? There's a throne. There's one sitting on the throne. He's like a jasper stone. He's like a sardine stone. He's bright. He's giving light into all the world. 1 John 1 and 5 says, God is light, and in him is no darkness. In hell, it will be outer darkness. In heaven, there will be constant light. I'm glad that we get to look into heaven and see him sitting on the throne. Verse 3 also says there was a rainbow about his throne in sight like unto an emerald. And rainbow. Remember when we're first introduced to the rainbow? Following the flood, God put a rainbow in the sky. That was God's covenant. That was God's covenant never to destroy the world again with a flood. Guess what? There's a rainbow over his throne. You ever heard of a rainbow chaser? They chase the rainbow. They try to get to the end of the rainbow. There's gold at the end of the rainbow. Let's be rainbow chasers. Not here on the earth. Let's chase the rainbow in heaven. Let's seek to get to the end of that rainbow. That's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be spiritual rainbow chasers. And so that what assurance we have to be able to see into heaven. And, you know, they can take God out of the schools. They can take God out of the government, but you can't take God off his throne, and we're thankful for that. God's always on the throne, and that ought to give us assurance and confidence. I don't know what's going to happen in Washington, D.C. this week. We don't know, but I know who's on the throne in heaven. It's God. He's in control of this entire universe. It all belongs to him, and so he's in charge. He's in control. You know, they can take him out of the school. They can take him out of the community, but they can't take him out of heaven, and that's what counts. You know, it's funny that people want God at their wedding. I had a call a couple of weeks ago. We want a preacher. We want you. We want you to... They want God in their wedding. By the way, those people didn't go to church. They want God at their funeral. They want God in their wedding. They want God in their funeral, but they don't want God in their everyday life. Isn't that something? We want God in our everyday life. We always want him. We're always seeking after him. We need to honor him and honor him every single day. But let's notice also that in heaven, here's an open door, and we're looking in that open door by way of this great chapter of the Bible. And it says, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now there's great symbolism in the book of Revelation. We know that. There's great symbols. Do you think there's really a door, a literal door like that door back there open to heaven? No, it's a symbol to show that heaven is open. It's open to us. And there are these 24 elders on their seats for them, and they're robed in white, and they had crowns on their head. Well, they're symbolizing something. There were 12 tribes in the Old Testament. There were 12 apostles in the New Testament. Perhaps this symbolizes, and I think logically so, that this is the redeemed from the Old Testament and from the New Testament. These are the redeemed. Beloved, we're going to be sitting on thrones. By the way, that's mentioned in other places as well. And we're going to have crowns. What kind of crowns are these? These are victory crowns. Look at Revelation 2 and verse number 10. Fear none of those things which thou suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. What kind of crown is that? That's a victory crown. Remember what Paul said over there. We're studying 2 Timothy in our Bible class this morning. And in chapter 4, Paul says, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. Henceforth, you know, don't you? Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not to me only, but to all them that have loved his appearing. There's crowns for everybody. And so around the throne of the great God of heaven, around his throne, there are people sitting, and they have crowns on their head, crowns of gold, clothed in white raiment. And that's what we're to do. The Bible says pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. In other words, we're to keep our robes clean and white. And that, of course, is accomplished with the blood of Christ. Christ's blood will cleanse us and make us as white as snow. And when he forgives our sins, we're to try to keep all of the blotches and the stains of sin away and off from us. And so around the throne, we get to look into heaven today. We see a door open there. There's one sitting on the throne, but he's not there by himself. He's not there alone. There are people sitting around that throne with crowns and white raiment. Verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Lightnings and thunder and voices. That sounds like Mount Sinai when there was thunderings there. And they were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And perhaps this is very likely the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there. We're glad of that. We read of the Father. We read of the Son. We read of the Spirit. The Son's in the next chapter, chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. And now we're reading about the Father, and we're reading about the 7 spirits of God. Perhaps that 7 representing the perfect Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit is calmly situated near the throne of God. And what a beautiful scene that we see here as we see that. I'm looking forward to being in heaven, aren't you? I'm encouraged today to live a better Christian life, so that I might not miss that. You know, Paul would say there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, I buffet my body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself would also become a castaway. Even the apostle knew that he had to give his all to be found in heaven. And so what a beautiful picture there that we have of heaven. Verse 6 says, and before the throne, there was a sea of glass. That's something smooth, isn't it? You ever drive by a pond or something, or drive by a lake and there's not any wind blowing? It's just like glass. There's a sea there. It's not troubled. It's not stormy. Down on the world where the Christians are, it's troubled. It's stormy there. They're being beaten. They're being thrown into the arenas, cast into prison. But in heaven, there was a sea of glass likened to crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, there were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. There's those beautiful, beautiful heavenly beings, those heavenly beasts, those creatures. And the first beast was like a lion. There's perhaps the image of courage there. And the second beast like a calf or an ox. Perhaps there's the picture of strength. And the third beast had a face as a man. There's the intellect. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, the speed, the swiftness there. And there are those creatures there. We read about some similar kind of creatures in the Old Testament, such as in the book of Ezekiel. We read about the cherubim there in Ezekiel chapter 10. I'd like to read that. You may want to turn there as well. Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 15. And the cherubims were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river Kibar. And when the cherubims went, the wheels went by them. And when the cherubims lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, and the wheels also turned not from beside them. And they stood. These stood. And they were lifted up. These lifted up themselves also, up from the spirit of the living creature was in them. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. And the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also beside them. Everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of God, the God of Israel, was over them above. This is the living creature which I saw under the God of Israel by the river Kibar, and I knew that they were the cherubims. Now let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1, since he's told us those were the creatures he saw at the first. And let's begin reading here in verse 6 of Ezekiel 1. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet was straight feet, like the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. They had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. And their wings were joined one to another. And they turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they had four had the face of a man. That was one mentioned in Revelation 4. And the face of a lion, that's another one there in Revelation 4, on the right side. And the four had the face of an ox on the left side. And the four had also the face of an eagle. And thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward, two wings. Every one were joined one to another, and the two covered their bodies. Isn't that beautiful? The beautiful creatures of heaven, the heavenly beings there. And also we read of the seraphim. Those were the cherubim. We read of the seraphim. They had four wings. They had six wings. The cherubim had four wings. The seraphim had six wings. And we read about them there in Isaiah chapter 6. And they flew over the Lord there. And they said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The earth is full of his glory." So they're intellectual beings. They're not just dumb creatures. They're intellectual, and they can speak, and they can honor God. And they said, "Holy, holy, holy." They were praising God, praising him on his throne. That's what we're doing today. We're doing that today. Matter of fact, we have a song in our songbook. It's called "Holy, Holy, Holy." That's a great song. That's a song likened to the one sung by the seraphim. And the words of the seraphim. I'm glad that we can look into heaven today. I'm excited about heaven. I hope you are excited about heaven. Yeah, we get out in the world and there's drudgery. There's the drudgery of the everyday schedule. But read your Bible. Something better is coming. And so heaven is giving glory to the Lord. And then notice verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not night, day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." which was, that's past tense, which is, that's present tense, and which is to come. And so they were honoring God with great, great honor. What are they doing in heaven? They're doing what we're doing here. We're recognizing the greatness of God. You know, it's a refreshing thing to worship God. I've known quite a few people, they work hard on Wednesday. They come in for Bible class and for prayer and for singing on Wednesday. And they're refreshed by it. Heaven is going to be a refreshing place. It's going to be a wonderful place. You know, there's something about worship when we leave here. We don't leave feeling down and out. We don't leave here feeling bad and troubled. Worship does something for us. Being in the assembly of the saints. You know, God wants us to assemble. Hebrews 10 and 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Why does God not want us to forsake the assembling? Because there's where we're edified. There's where we're strengthened. By the way, I didn't finish that Hebrews 10 and 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's why we leave here with joy in our hearts. We should leave here. You know, if we let the troubles of the world just weigh on our minds and weigh on our minds, we come in with the troubles of the world and we leave with the troubles in our world weighing on our minds. That's not supposed to happen. We're supposed to carry our burdens and cast our burdens upon Him. That's what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5. Casting your burdens upon Him. He cares for us. And so in heaven, they're recognizing God for who He truly is. He's a God that lives forever. He was, He is, He is to come. And they honor Him. Notice verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before His throne. What are we going to do with our throne? What are we going to do with our crowns? We've got a crown of righteousness. We have a crown of life. We're glad. That's a sign of victory. And that's a sign of honor. What are you going to do with that crown? I'm going to say there's one greater than me. There's one with more honor than me. The one that gave me this crown, He deserves it more than I do. I want to give tribute to His name. I want to give honor to His being. And I'm going to cast this throne before Him to show Him how much I appreciate Him. God has been so good to us. I tell you, I don't know how we could live any better than what we're living right now. Just don't know how we could be living any better than what we're living right now. And it's God. We didn't choose where we're going to be born. You didn't choose it. I didn't choose it. Of all the places we could have been born in this world, we could have been born in Somalia. We could have been born in Tibet. Would you like to have been born in Somalia? A country run by gangs. Would you like to have been born a Scythian a long time ago? We're born the greatest of times and the greatest of places. We owe God this tribute. We owe it to Him. He's given us so much. We're living like kings right now. And so that's what they're doing in heaven. They're giving Him worship. Verse 11, Thou art worthy. Here's what they're saying in heaven. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. I'm going to throw my crown down to Your feet because Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor, glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You are worthy, O Lord. That's why we're here today. Is because God is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of it now. He's going to be worthy of it when we get to heaven. He's the creator of all things. He sits on a majestic throne. And if we had time today, we'd go back to chapters 2 and 3. And just go back there and read. If you overcome, see what God's going to do for you. If you overcome, you'll receive a crown of righteousness. If you overcome, you'll receive a white robe. If you overcome, he continues to say, you'll have your name written on a pillar. What a great thing God's going to do for us when we get to heaven. Those in heaven recognize how great he is and how praiseworthy he is. The scene that we're reading about, it's for our learning. It's for our learning, for our appreciation. It helps us to better understand that we need to be worshiping. We ought to be worshiping one so great and so majestic as our God sitting in heaven. Christians of the earth, we need to know what's going on in heaven. And things are fine in heaven. Things are great in heaven. And when we get there, we're headed toward there. We're not there yet. But when we get there, things are going to be fine. Things are going to be great. No more April the 15th. Some of you know what I'm talking about. No more April the 15th. When we get to heaven, how what a blessing that is. Receipts and numbers and tabulations and all of that sort of, no more of that. No more hospitals. No more funeral homes. Everything's great in heaven. Heaven is open. It's not closed. God is firmly sitting on his throne. God wants that door to be open so that you can come to that door. You can come and offer up your petitions to him and he'll listen. It's open for you to draw near to God and he can draw near to you. I'm so thankful for Revelation chapter 4. But tonight we're going to be studying about the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation chapter 16, what is called the war, the Battle of Armageddon. We're going to be studying about that tonight. We need to know more about the book of Revelation. Heaven is open. It's fine. God's on his throne. And if you haven't come to him and be his child. Come to him and let him be your father. Come home. I like that invitation song we sometimes sing. It says, come home. He's your father. That's where you've come from. You've come from him. Your spirit and your soul comes from God. Come home to him. He's given you your soul and your life and your existence. If you've never obeyed the gospel, just do that today so that heaven can be your goal. Repent of your sins. Confess his name before others. As it says in Acts 2:38 and Romans 10:9-10, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we are confessing unto salvation. If we repent, we're repenting unto salvation. If we're baptized, we're baptized and we'll receive the remission of our sins. And if you're away from your Heavenly Father and you've already done that, come home to him today. Why? Why would anyone want to stay away from these blessings? I don't understand. I know we can love the world more than we can love God. That's one reason, is we can stay away from him because we love the world. We love doing our own thing more than we want to do God's will. But don't cheat yourself out of heaven on account of that. You know, you're in control of your future. You can become a Christian. You can be restored to the Lord. You can serve him or not. It's totally up to you. And so I wouldn't want to stay out of heaven, would you? And so if you need to come, we pray that you'll come as we stand and sing.